Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local school, business, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 system support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org. Tested is also sponsored by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and kitchen staples to your door starting at $15. Every delivery fights food waste and supports local hunger-solving organizations. HungryHarvest.net.
I'm Leonida Inge. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, love in the time of COVID. This past year has taken a heartfelt toll on all kinds of relationships. That's if you've been following the rules, saving lives, including your own, by keeping a distance. We're not meeting and greeting friends for coffee or for a good old-fashioned anymore. Hugs and kisses with friends and lovers have definitely become a casualty of the coronavirus pandemic. Damn! When was the last time I had a good hug? Even if your COVID bubble includes a partner you're committed to, it hasn't been the best of times for some couples who live together, without a break, for the past year. Mary Henson is a couples therapist based in Fayetteville, North Carolina. She's been busy and has a waiting list of folks trying to see her.
In all that stress, who wants to have sex, right? You're annoyed, you know, you're aggravated. You're just trying to figure out like what's going to happen. And so when that intimacy piece is absent or decreases, that also impacts how we see each other.
Okay, let's put a pin in that for now. We'll hear more from Mary Henson in just a bit. First, I want to catch up with someone I've missed since the COVID crisis hit, one of my colleagues at WUNC, reporter Naomi Prelo. It seems we only get to see each other on Zoom these days, but I haven't gotten to hang out with her at work or after work events like we used to. So imagine my surprise when I learned Naomi has a Valentine. The pandemic was no hurdle she couldn't jump in her search for love, and I'm happy for her.
Yeah, I'm happy for myself. I met this really wonderful, lovely guy named Nico. We met in April, so right in the middle of the pandemic and everything. And we actually met on Tinder. And so we were messaging each other, and then we shortly moved to virtual dates where we would, you know, video call each other and talk and cook or whatever. And then after that, we moved to in-person dates, but they were like socially distanced dates. So we would meet up in parks and have like picnics. We would go for like walks around, you know, the city or whatever, again, socially distanced and that sort of thing. So yeah, and since then, I became his girlfriend, he became my boyfriend, and we are all in love and happy.
You go, Naomi. But how did she know he was the one? How romantic can you be or should you be during a pandemic?
Romantic gestures. I mean, I guess it was romantic to me, but I had gotten like really sick after we had made it official, but we were still like early into our relationship. I got really sick and I just was feeling like dog poo. And he actually like came over and he brought me like some soup and some Rolaids and ginger ale, just all the things that I need to make myself feel better. And then so he just kind of like dropped it off and he's like, here, I hope you feel better. We'll talk tomorrow. And then I just went back, you know, onto my sofa and was just like, bleh. But I thought that was really romantic, you know, and I was like, oh.
Naomi's in her early 30s. Things get a little trickier for us silver foxes. So that's why I called up another colleague, Laura Stassi. Laura and I have never met in person. I hope one day that'll change. She's the host of WUNC's new podcast, Dating While Gray, or what Laura likes to call the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships for those of us 50 and older.
This is Stephen, and so I'm recently divorced from my husband, and so I've been back on the dating market, and I'm on 4 dating sites. I take introductions from friends and have met nice people that way.
My name is Genevieve, and I am recently single after being in a relationship for about 3-4 years. I've dated all kinds of men.
My name is Mark. I was pretty much of a wreck after she died, and I do not like the idea of spending the rest of my life alone.
Dating While Gray launched its second season this week. Laura divorced after being married for nearly 30 years. She has a lot to say about online dating.
I have a love-hate relationship with dating sites. I've heard from experts and from daters that it's successful. It's the best way to meet people, especially at this age. And then I've heard from other people that it's disappointing. Sometimes it's even dangerous. But one thing I think the dating sites have done that's really good is for the pandemic, they've set up video applications so that you can meet someone and, you know, text or email back and forth. But then you can decide if you want to go almost immediately to a video chat, and you can meet them by video through the website or the app so that it's, you know, you're still safe, but you're able to meet them virtually. And I've also heard of some dating sites that are strictly video, the new ones that have popped up, where it's almost like a matchmaking service. You say what you're looking for and, you know, the geographic, you know, the zip code that you're willing to consider. And then they find you, you know, maybe 3 possibilities, and you get in front of your camera at a certain time, and these possibilities, you know, come through. And then some other ones, you can start video chatting, and then if you don't like them, their face blurs away. So you could just go on to the next one. So I do like what's going on with the apps. I think if we want to meet someone, we really shouldn't put that on hold. But of course, we have to be sort of more deliberate about it.
You know, I've heard that some folks out there are putting at the top of their profiles whether they had a COVID vaccine shot yet. I don't know if you've heard that's the going thing now. And I guess I don't know if you're under 65 or you're getting these shots, unless you're, of course, a healthcare worker or an essential worker. But I hear, you know, that's the going thing.
That's funny, because when I did this virtual speed dating event a couple weeks ago, I think there were maybe 8 men and 8 women, and a couple of the men mentioned that they had been able to get the vaccine. And my first thought is, okay, you have some underlying health conditions, which, you know, of course, you know, after a certain age, we all have something. But that was sort of a kind of a red flag to me, that because they said they were under 65, I'm 60, they were under 65 and they weren't healthcare workers, but they'd already managed to get the vaccine. So, which is great. I'm not faulting them, but then I'm thinking, okay, is it too soon to be talking about our underlying health conditions before
you decide? Even have a date.
Right.
Ah, that's a good way to look at it, you know. You know, I'm sure they thought by saying, hey, I'm almost ready to be out there. I'm inoculated, you know, if I get COVID, it'd be no big deal. But yeah.
Yeah, you're safe, but I'm not safe yet. I mean, yeah.
So what's your, I guess, as you work on this project, like, what's your ultimate goal? I mean, just making sure you know, people like us are becoming more and more open and secure about making sure our lives don't stop, you know, because, you know, we're either divorced, our children are not at home anymore, or in a way, it just makes me think this is just not a time to be really alone.
Yes. So for me, Dating While Gray, you know, started as a writing project, then it became a podcast. I almost feel like it's a mission as well. Like we're all in this together, and the stories that I present, they're very unique to each person, but they're also kind of universal. And so I think it makes people feel better about themselves or feel better that they're not alone. Like I had a lot of comments after last season. Thank you for airing that. I know I'm not alone. And when I say alone, I mean alone in this specific experience I'm going through. That it's, you know, it's personal to me, but a lot of people are going through it. I really feel like, I mean, I want to be coupled. But I feel like all of us need to learn how to be perfectly fine on our own. I mean, if you look at statistics, at some point, most of us will be on our own, especially if we're women. And so if we can learn to be comfortable in our aloneness, that means we're, you know, that means we're not lonely. And in fact, I interviewed a man the other day, and he got divorced when he was in his 20s, and he's been single ever since. And so now he's 53, and he's trying to get back on the dating scene. He had been dating, you know, off and on. And he said he realized that in previous relationships, he was getting into them because he was lonely, not because he was ready for another relationship. And he said with age, he's learned to make the difference between loneliness and readiness. And I really like that. I think that's great.
Laura Stassi hosts the latest addition to WUNC's podcast family, Dating While Gray. Season 2 launched this week and is available on your favorite audio app. Lonely is one thing. Too much togetherness is another. That's exactly what's putting stress on a lot of couples who've been living together throughout the pandemic. It can be a challenge to keep the spark alive when you're working from home, sharing housework, childcare, and other daily stressors without a break or time away. On top of all that, anxiety about getting sick can make it too much for some couples to bear. Let's turn back to Mary Henson. She's the couples therapist we heard from briefly earlier. She's been staying busy, and she says most of the therapists she knows have had a wait list since spring.
So what was occurring before the pandemic is many individuals would have a break. And when we say break, that means they get to leave the house or the relationship in a physical way for work or school or out at the gym or whatever activities that they had. And so they were able to step away. And so they didn't have to look at the dirty laundry in the floor all day. Because I'll get back to it later. And then you were able to like unplug in some ways and then come back into it. But now many are still there, you know, so they may work from home or someone has to watch kids. And what also has happened is there's been a reevaluation of roles within relationships. So now who is going to take on this extra responsibility of virtual learning for young people? Or now who is going to stay home with their toddler because daycare is closed? What if I still have a job too? How do I do that and manage these other things? Income, if couples' hours got cut or jobs were lost, that adds another dimension to stress. And so many things had to be reevaluated. But what happened is no one has been through this before, right? In our day and age. And so it was hard to anticipate these things. And so we're winging it. So we're just winging who's staying home, or we're winging how are we going to pay the bills and our income is cut. We're kind of winging, okay, I used to be able to go do this thing or have this girl's trip or guy's night or something of that nature, and now I can't And so couples have not been able to talk about those things, understandably so, because these are unprecedented, you know, aspects that they've had to contend with.
It sounds like they're winging love. I mean, like, so when do you fit that in? You
know? Right, right. And all that stress, who wants to have sex, right? You're annoyed, you know, you're aggravated. You're just trying to figure out like what's going to happen. When that intimacy piece is absent or decreases, that also impacts how we see each other within the relationship. And so with all these compounding factors, it's not really a surprise that couples especially have had more challenges to shoulder. It almost can feel like the walls are falling down. Like when we don't feel close to that person that we have, you know, slept with, we eat with, we take care of bills with, and I don't even feel comfortable enough to tell them what I'm going through, that can create more distance, and then we'll grow different directions versus growing together. So what I share with couples is it's not about the number of disagreements that you have, it's how you repair them, it's how you come back. That is what builds the resiliency within a couple. You are going to experience stuff, you know, loss of a parent, financial distress, kids cutting up, like you're going to experience something, but how do you resolve it? How can you lean on each other to work on it?
Well, now we've been surviving the pandemic these past few months, several months, we're almost at a year.
Yes.
You know, yes. I mean, what advice do you have for couples who live together or couples who are trying to survive this mm-hmm. time and remain together, you know, in the long run? I mean, like, what can be done? What should be done?
One of the things that I really suggest doing is figure out a way to get back connected, you know, with each other, a way to kick off boyfriend-girlfriend time is what I call it, because adulting can just not be fun, you know, all the time. So really, to be honest, studies even show if you just spend a concentrated approximately 15 minutes with your partner on a daily basis, that can even improve the closeness between the two of you. But the topics have to be based off our relationship. And some people say, well, I don't really have anything to talk about. We're just staring at each other. You can Google conversation starters for couples. And it kind of reminds you of when you're dating, you know, just these conversation games, but something that is off topic from the typical stresses that you have day in and day out, and spend some time connecting in that way. It may not be possible to do it every day, but if you're able to do it even 4 to 5 times a week, in the evening, you know, off your devices, like really just focusing, concentrating on each other. And someone say, well, it's so much to do. And I say, it's less than 1% of the day. Like 15 minutes is less than 1% of the day to actually pour into your relationship. Another option is being more creative about the date night. I am an absolute advocate for date night. It may not be possible to go to, you know, the spa and get a couple's massage, but maybe you wait until kiddos are asleep or you guys are off from work, or you put it on your calendar. And even if it's once a month or twice a month, something to look forward to. Alternate who's going to take responsibility in leading it, so it's not shouldered by one person, and be creative. So even if it's not us going out, I had one couple who did hot dogs and ramen noodles, put up some Christmas lights and played music and lit a candle. And that was it. You know, it doesn't have to be spectacular, but it's just showing some effort there.
You know, what's funny? I still have my little Christmas lights up. I cannot take them down. I need them up.
You know, even when we're alone, lighting a candle, playing music, like even that is just relaxing and think about. So to do it with your partner, a touch, you know, so if you're dancing or touching or whatever that looks like, that also heightens closeness as well, would be a suggestion. So being mindful about those things and then also talking about it. And so I use 3 questions to kind of help guide some of that so it doesn't feel awkward. It's what's working, what's not working, and what would I like to see more of? And so starting with the strength base, what's working? Okay, I did like how you came home on time the other day. I really did like how you, you know, took the trash out. What's not working for me is I feel like once you come home, we don't really talk, or I feel like I have to do all the chores by myself. What I like to see more of, us spending some time together, or you not being so negative, you know? So highlighting some of those aspects and talking about what's going on for us can be far more helpful so that you guys can work together to repair any damage that's there or any deficiencies within your relationship.
Wow, I've learned so much. What was the third one? What's working, what's not working?
And what do you want to see more of?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the more of is like, I see a glimmer of it, but I would like more. So I love when you hold my hand, or I love when you give me a kiss. I like to see more of that. I love when you leave notes, you know, in my car. I'd like to see more of that.
Well, thank you very much. And happy Valentine's Day.
You as well.
Many thanks to therapist Mary Henson, who specializes in emotionally focused therapy for couples in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's it for this episode of Tested. Rebecca Martinez produced this show. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. I'm Leonita Inge. Happy Valentine's Day. Remember to love yourself and each other by staying safe. Thanks for listening.